tell you what. Thank you. There's a lot that we can say we've been through, but it's actually quite a testimony to be able to say that through it, we've learned to trust in him. Through it, our character has been molded. Through it, we're not what we used to be. Amen. I'm thankful that I can stand here tonight and say I'm not the man I used to be. That he has changed me. And it wasn't us that changed ourselves. We saw the result. So that, if you've ever tried it yourself or saw others that tried to change themselves, that is, you never succeed. We never succeed at changing ourselves. Because if it's us doing it, then it's not eternal. It wasn't done by anything eternal, so it ain't going to last. Oh, my. You know, they got patches out there people wear, or gum they chew to try to get them, you know, to off of cigarettes. And they got pills people can take that try to get them off of alcohol and everything else. And they can do all that stuff. And I've been around some and said, well, they were successful, you know. But I'll tell you what, they didn't get what it took to hold them, you know. But you get delivered. Get deliverance from the Lord. You won't need no patch, no pills, no smokeless electronic cigarette or anything else. It's just gone. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I've had different ones, not from here, but just through my life, I've talked to different ones, as you witness and that, you know, and they'll try to tell you, you know, well, this or that, surely, you know, God ain't worried about that. There's some that think you got a little bit of social drinking or even smoking a cigarette, and ain't nothing wrong with it, you know, and different things. But I just read a scripture, I was back there studying, and it says, those that don't you not, you're the temple of the Lord. And those that destroy this temple, they're going to be judged for destroying this temple. If they defile this temple, those that defile it. Well, it's not just, you know, the defile can cover a whole lot of things. But there's people that's not just defiled, they're destroying it. You know, so little people sometimes think of life. God give life, and people show just how much they appreciate what he done for them. By, they say they're putting another nail in their coffin when they smoke a cigarette. See, they know all that stuff's going to, what it does to them. But they do it anyhow. Amen. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get off. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this grand opportunity to be here tonight. I pray, dear God, you bless us, Lord, in this service, in this study. And I pray, dear God, that may, Lord, that we be attentive, Lord, and we ask for you to come and speak to us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, don't worry, I've got my watch here with me tonight. I forgot it last Thursday in the midst of all that was going on before I came to church. But I've got it here with me tonight. I won't hold you like I did last Thursday. I apologize for that. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Paul said, would to God ye bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a spirit beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but ye have been thoroughly made manifest, but have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted because I have preached you the gospel of God freely? And then turn with me to Galatians 1, and I want to begin to read it. Verse 6, Galatians 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we were an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. As we are looking to end this to study, and like I said, I know we said we were going to get into the scriptures and show of the promise of a prophet so that all and the youth that might not be as familiar with it can see it right in the scriptures. But I just have felt led to go along these lines before I actually get to that. And we may just drop that in and then come back to this. First of all, it's important to realize that many times when people hear something that's foreign to them or something that, say you go to witness to someone about this end time message or that God sent a prophet, and I'm going to tell you something, friends, that's foreign to people. It's the very moment now that somebody mentions something about a prophet, right away people's mind go to a cult. Right away, if you say, we believe God sent a prophet, they're going to say, oh, whether they tell you or not, they're going to think, oh, you're in a cult. Because that there have been so many false prophets come, and there's been so many cults rise up, that to have a true prophet has become foreign to the people. But to have false prophets that lead people off after themselves, that has become very common amongst them. And so right away, they become guarded toward that. And then you've got those that say they believe this message, that they say, well, we've received the prophet, you know, and but they won't receive the fivefold ministry. And there's a reason for that they go that way. But I wanted to just read you a few things here. Brother Branham says, and this is in preached in 1963, The Voice of God in This Last Day. He says, he was referring to a scripture we read a couple of weeks ago concerning Samuel and Eli, and it said the word of God was precious in those days and there was no open vision. He says, where there's no vision, the Bible said the people perish. We must have a vision, and visions comes to the prophets, and it's the word of the Lord spoken to them. Now, you know, when you begin to talk to people, you know, of course there are some religions and denominations, some that I have heard and some that I've talked to, that they actually take and dilute even the writings of Paul to make it of non effect to the people. They say that things that Paul spoke, oh, well, that was because of the things that was at that time. And but they don't go to the scripture to show you that. They use intellectualism. They'll go to talk to you about, like, for instance, where Paul says women be silent in church, they'll go and say, well, they wasn't educated back then. That's why they didn't have them to talk. That's not true. That wasn't the reason. If that had been the reason, Paul would have told you and told us that's the reason. But Paul said, as saith the law. Well, the Bible scholars of the day can't accept that. Because they go back and they read the law and they say, there's nothing wrote in the law concerning the woman at all. And that was exactly what Paul was saying. If God was going to give her a place to speak in the church, then he would have set that forth in the law, the instructions, the same way that he did when he was setting up the ministry and the priesthood and said they, you know, this. And of course, we realize that we've come under another priesthood. And we realize in this, under this other priesthood, we're all kings and priests before God, in that male and female alike can receive the Holy Ghost. But the word says, I still won't suffer a woman to preach. Now, don't get upset at me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. But, of course, I know that just because you tell people what the Bible says doesn't mean that you're sure they're not going to be upset at you. It depends on, I guess, who you're talking to. So, but there is a need of prophets. And so, as I was saying, there's some that discount the words and writings of Paul and try to make it of non-effect or say it doesn't apply today. But you realize, like I said, they're doing all that through intellectualism instead of showing it to you by the word. I know that if you don't read your Bible and you don't study it and you go out and you try to talk to someone, say, of another religion that has really read and studied at least the parts of the Bible that is emphasized by their denomination, that they can quickly tie you up. But if you know the Word of God, realize that they always leave scriptures out. And all you have to do is just give them one of those scriptures and they'll wrestle with it till they quit. Peter says there were many that wrestled with the words of Paul. It is just, I find that when I was young, a young boy back in the 70s, and I'd heard some Trinitarians talking, and they were discussing with my father about water baptism. And he was showing them, you know, trying to witness them, showing them what was wrote in the book of Acts and all that. And their answer was, well, I'm going to take what Jesus said or over what Peter says. To which, if this contradicts itself, then we might as well just get rid of it. It doesn't mean anything if it contradicts itself. It's no different than any other book if it contradicts itself. But it doesn't. Of course, we know the words are rightly dividing. Of course, those who are in tune with the denominations believe that the only way to rightly divide it is the way that the denomination has taught them. Now, Brother Branham says, this is again in the same message, the voice of God in the last day, says, God has promised to meet the need of the hour. He always does that. And we need the voice of God today to meet the need of the hour, to meet the time that we're living in. But he says, today, one reason that the church is in the condition it's in is because there are so many other voices to attract the church from the voice of God, till it's very doubtful that many would hear the voice of God, though it spoke right in their midst. They perhaps wouldn't even understand it because it would be a foreign thing to them. And then he goes on to say how that Paul talks about the uncertain sound of a trumpet and so on. And he says, if other voices are contrary to the voice of God, then it must be the voice of our enemy to confuse us, that we would not understand the voice of God when it spoke. Well, we can see that, like I said, in the denominations, in their realms, we can see all these different denominational voices. But we can also see all the different voices of doctrines and delusions that claim to believe this message. False prophets, that we call them, that have led people astray. False preachers, false ministers. But also, there are people around this message, friends, that they have become so delusioned in their mind that they won't even come to hear the voice of God, because they think that there is no other voice of God other than what they hear on the tapes or reading the books or I guess today, so often we refer to them as the tapes, but you know what I mean. Here, I'm still reading from the same message. He says, how will we know it's the voice of God? He said, because it's the manifestation of the prophet's word. That is God's prophet. And a true voice of God only brings back the real, living, supernatural God with his supernatural word, with the supernatural manifestation of the true word. Now, those around the message that claim that they only listen to the prophet, they don't accept the fivefold ministry and so on, they would say amen to exactly what I just read. But they would say amen to it with their understanding. They would say, yes, supernatural manifestation. Well, there's supernatural manifestation in the prophet's ministry. Show us where there's supernatural manifestation in your ministry. Wait a minute. Are you talking about the signs? Are they speaking of the signs? Or are they speaking of the word? Are they speaking of the signs that were to attract the people? Or are they speaking of the third pool? Because the prophet said the third pool was the revealing of the word, the opening of the seals. Is that right? I've heard so many different ministers back through my life talk about some that I've been with preach different places, and we've had conversation at, and they would point at their pool being some way of us speaking limbs into existence or speaking groceries into people's cabinets and all that. And I said, what good does that do? What is that going to do? How is that going to further the kingdom of God? That is temporal manifestations. There were many people that were in the prophets' meetings that received healing, but refused to walk in the light of the word that the voice was speaking. In other words, they received the supernatural miracles but rejected the voice of God. Someone gave me something that was copied out of a diary that was wrote by Gordon Lindsay. And I came across it yesterday when I was going through some papers that I had in my mail slot, and and I was going through them, and as I read this, and according to what they said that's come out of Gordon Lindsay's diary, he began to speak how that Brother Branham withdrew from people, and how that his ministry, he missed what he was sent here for because he had a great gift of healing, but he never was able to draw the crowds like when he got further into his ministry. He said he began to speak of like trying to teach the word when he should have just been praying for the sick. That's what God wanted him to do, and he said he got off. Now that they say that was out of his diary. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But what I read, that's like the bunch of junk that you can get online and search and read and find all of that. Friends, let me tell you something. There is so much out there of people. One of them is Brother Collins' grandson. Who knows? You know, I've already had family post things online. People related to me post things negative about the message. Who knows how many more I'll have out of my family do it. I had a niece that did that. That's who I was speaking of. Who knows how much further that'll go. So I'm not downing Brother Collins. I feel for him. One brother, I was talking to a brother actually knew Brother Collins real close. He said, Brother Collins is just heartbroken sick over it. That his grandson went to the news media and everything else to try to proclaim the message as being false. If you want to look for those, that's out there. But I can tell you, say, Brother Jerry, have you ever saw any of it? Yeah, it's been showed to me. I even watched a video online of one man who was had been under Brother Biscoe's ministry, and he'd left there, and he's got all kinds of videos on the internet, and that my dad was actually showing me one where this man had somehow projected like as if he was standing in front of the Branham Tabernacle up in Jeffersonville, but if you have, you could tell he was not. You know, I don't know what all the technicalities, what they do that, but I said, look, he wasn't actually standing in front of there. You can tell by watching the video. It was just made to be that way. I don't know whether he had a green screen or what, but there was something he had done in it. And you say, but somebody like that just invest? Oh, yeah, they would invest in something just that high-tech enough because they want to get across what they're saying. And this man was taking what Jesus said out of the Bible concerning marriage and divorce, but he was completely misinterpreting it, and by that, trying to prove that Brother Branham was wrong in what he preached in marriage and divorce. But myself, just hearing the man, I wasn't even thinking about what all the prophets said. I was just hearing what the man said concerning what Jesus was saying. And I thought, man, are you a million miles off? I mean, but what is it? A spirit of strong delusion. And there are people believing. They're lying. Friends, I'm going to tell you what. There is a whole new cult that is starting up. And it is anti-William Branham. The thing that I would ask them, don't get me wrong, I don't want to confuse you by the things I was saying, and I'll come back to this so you not be confused, but what I would want to say to them is, do what he did. If you're wanting to say he's not a prophet, he wasn't a prophet of God, and he's just false and all this, then let me see you do what he did. And not miss. Let me see you produce that. But that is not the only supernatural manifestation coming back to this. Because what was a supernatural manifestation that came out of the prophet's ministry? Now, yes, of course, the miracles. Of course, revealing thoughts and intents of the people's hearts. But what was all that for? All of that, friends, was, he said, was to get the people's attention so that he might introduce Jesus Christ to this generation. You say, why would there be a need to introduce Jesus Christ? Because people had come and preached, as Paul said, another Jesus. They preached another Jesus, he said. And he said, they preached another gospel. So therefore, the people did not even know Jesus Christ or recognize his voice when he was speaking. That was the same thing that happened, you know, when Jesus Christ came in the flesh. That same spirit was there that had took the people and had actually presented to them another gospel, another interpretation of God's word. It had produced to them another God instead of Jehovah, even though it was Jehovah who they claimed to worship. But if it was another God, it was not the one true God. Because if it had been, they'd have recognized him when he came in flesh. But they didn't recognize him. And they took, when Jesus was here, friends, what was it that they took to try to disprove him? They went back to the law. And they quoted it. They quoted the prophet Moses to try to disprove Jesus, when it was Moses who spoke of him. Now, you talk to people today, excuse me a moment. I don't know why I've been getting so dry lately, it seems, when I talk. You talk to people today about God sending a prophet. Like I said, that's become a foreign thing to them, as far as being a true prophet of God and recognizing it. Well, think about it. When Jesus Christ came, even though it had been promised, prophesied, and clearly outlined in the scriptures, he didn't come the way they were thinking he would. Now you can get some people to recognize Billy Graham because of all the great things that he's done. You know, they've got things online now where they advertise that you can become an ordained minister online. And a lot of people are doing this. And actually, one article I read on it said, "This is a good thing for you if you've retired and you're wanting something to do on the side. Why, you can get licensed so that you can perform weddings. You know, like the little wedding chapel they had down here for a little while." I ain't never charged nobody to perform a wedding, but that's what them things. I mean, that's what that's all about. I mean, my goodness, they can go out to Vegas and get an Elvis lookalike to do it if they want to. I realize, according to the laws of the land, it requires sometimes for there to be a need to have some papers of ordination or license. You know, as of right now in the state of Tennessee, you don't actually need a paper proclaiming that to be able to, solemnize a marriage. You don't need a paper, license, certificate, papers of ordination. You don't need that in order for the state of Tennessee to recognize it. I talked to them personally because I didn't believe it. And so I called up here to where, you know, you get your marriage license from and all that. And I talked to them on the phone, and I said, so I don't need nothing. They said, well, let me ask you a question. Said, are you a minister of the Word of God? You preach the Word of God? I said, yes. I said, that's all we need. Well, I'm going to tell you what, state of Tennessee's in the minority on that. There's a lot of other states. Ohio, you actually have to have some kind of ordination, some kind of license to be able to produce that in order to be able to you know, solemnize a marriage. But they got this thing, you know, now online. I just, oh my, just, it, that'd probably be the next thing. We're having all kinds of people rising up who thought all along they was preachers anyway in the message. And, you know, I tell you for the life of me, I don't understand why anybody who actually doesn't have that call of God wants to be a minister. Is it, maybe it's the glamour, you think? Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's getting to feel all the criticism. I don't know. Maybe it's getting to stand up in front of people. I don't know what it is. I'll tell you what, I believe what Brother Dan Daisley often told me. He said, Brother Jerry, a man and pastor of church that he's either called or he's crazy. Because he'd be crazy to do it if he wasn't called. Well, I believe there's been some. Someone was texting me today and was saying about some minister that had contacted him and has been proclaiming himself. God has showed him he's going to pastor a certain church. And I told him, I said, well, I texted back to the brother. I said, you know, it seems to me that when a man feels that he has to proclaim himself in order to bring about something, then I very much doubt that it was God speaking to him. I said, because if God really spoke to him, and I told him, I said, this individual started making this proclamation, I believe it was about 9 or 10 years ago. And I said, he started making this proclamation, you know, and I said, if that had been the Holy Spirit, I believe it had respect for the man who actually held the pastorship of that church. You know, and not only was their pastor, but the founder pioneered the work. You know, instead of showing such disregard and disrespect, you know, say, well, he'd say, well, God told me this. Yeah, but God don't tell you to go around, that you got to go around and tell everybody if he really did tell you. And then I told the brother, I said, that I was texting, I said, you know, there were many that said the church in Dixon that God had told them that they were going to be the pastor of this church. And I said, and time itself has revealed that God never spoke to them in the first place. I'm not trying to down anybody, but the certain individual I was speaking, I've never had that individual. I've never felt led to have him come here and preach since the first time I met him. He's got, I've heard him preach, and he does well. But as soon as I heard his proclamation and saw, to me, the lack of respect for the pastor of the church where he was from, that did it for me. You know, I've seen too much of that. If God's going to do it, he don't need you to do anything to make it come to pass. I remember, you know, the Lord had spoke to me many things, preparing me that he was going to send me to pastor. I didn't know where. God hadn't told me at that time. I just knew that what he was revealing to me at the time. I came back from a long trip. I've told you all this before. I came back from a long trip. Was gone. Was maybe a month and a half or so. And I came back. During that month and a half, I never once called my dad on the phone or spoke to him. We didn't have. We didn't have. Convenience that we have today of being able to talk and text to people. And so, they didn't have, even if you had a cell phone back then, there wasn't no such thing as unlimited minutes. Anytime I got a chance to call anybody, I called Mina. Anyway, after a month and a half being gone, come walked in the kitchen, my dad was standing there, he hadn't saw me in a month and a half. And the first words out of his mouth was, "Hey, if a church was to call you and ask you to come pastor him, would you go do it?" I said, "Well, if it was the Lord's will, I'd have to pray about it." He goes, "Yeah, sure you would." He said, "But that ain't what I'm asking you." He said, "Would you go do it?" I guess what he was asking me, would I consider doing that, you know? And so I said, I don't know what else to answer you. And he said, "Well, this is the thing." He said, "The Lord's revealed to me that there's a church down in Dixon, Tennessee, that needs a pastor, and the Lord has revealed to me that they're going to ask you to come and be their pastor." The only person I'd even met was Brother Phil, and I met him up there in Elkton on a Sunday evening. Well, I knew where Brother Phil was from. I'd never been by this church. So when Dad told me that, I said, "Well, I can tell you one thing. I have no need for Brother Phil Bontrager's number because I ain't ever calling him." I said, "If God wants me there, I'm not going to help him. He'll have to do it all on his own. Because if I got to help him, then I'll always doubt whether it's really him or not." And I said, "And if God wanted me to go there, he's going to have to do it all himself, because I don't want there to be any doubt. Wherever I go, I want to know with the certainty that God has indeed sent me. I don't want there to be no question or doubt." Because I'll tell you something, friends. If you or a man has done it, and if there is any question or doubt that's even in the back of their mind, the first time they come hard against the enemy, that doubt will overcome them. But I'll tell you what, friends. I come down to a place here to where there was one time I thought so much damage, I thought to my family, I was ready to leave. But that was me, Jerry Browning, the flesh. And you know how the prophet said the devil come to him and said, if that's the way that he's going to treat you. And he said, "I start to say that, if that's what he said. But when I opened my mouth," Brother Branham said, "what came out instead was, though he slay me, yet will I serve him." And I was up here, and Mina was with me, and I was up here getting ready at the Odeware by Food Line. I was getting ready to go through that car wash. And I was reaching over to put the money in to pay for a car wash. And Mina was sitting beside me. And I went to tell her that I was ready to leave here. And as I went to tell her, what come out of my mouth was, "I don't care if all the gates of hell stands against me. I'm not going anywhere because God sent me." Now that didn't come from my flesh, I can tell you. Because my flesh was saying, "Let's go pack." But that's what a man needs. That's what you need. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. That ain't just for preachers. To have that kind of confirmation, knowing that you're in the will of God. You need to have just that much assurity with everything you're doing for the Lord. Now, I know look, friends, I'm not talking about what brand of mayonnaise you buy. Because in a few days, that jar will be gone anyway. But you better be thinking about that when you go get married. Because that don't go away like a jar of mayonnaise. Can't just switch brands if you don't particularly like that one. You know, somebody gives you a jar of mayonnaise, you don't like the way it tastes, you can say, "Well, I ain't eating no more of that jar. Get me the kind I want." I know there's some people saying, well, I wouldn't waste. I'd make sure I got all that eat. Be my guest. Let me know. We'll put a list. I'll send you anything I get that I don't want to eat. Oh, my. I want to close here. I want to get to this. This is in Smyrna Church Age, in the Church Age book. It says, in every age, we have exactly the same pattern. And it's talking about, it'll go on to explain here without us having to back up a paragraph or so. But it says, in every age, we have exactly the same pattern. The light comes through some God-given messenger. And then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. Now, I know what we read the scriptures. Paul said, you know, I didn't receive this of man, neither was it taught me by man, but it was revealed to me by God. Well, friends, see, this is where rightly dividing things come, because there are people that go, I don't need no man at all. I'm just going to get it straight from God. I'm sorry, God has his channels and he will not. I don't care what people want to think or what they want to say. God ain't going to bend and come through some other means or channel just because they don't particularly want it that way. When I find many people that believe they can just, you know, they can just get the revelation and the will of God for everything on their own, and they don't need nobody else. I find that those particular people, what it really is, they're rebellious to headship. So if they're rebellious to headship, why would they think they're going to receive the headship of Christ? From that messenger spreads the light through the ministry of others. Now, of course, they'll say, well, now, by that, it just means others. It's not necessarily talking about, he didn't say fivefold ministry. He did say ministry. What ministry, I pray tell those that don't believe in the fivefold ministry and do not have a gift themselves? Then through what ministry is it coming through? Their ministry? Because I'll tell you something, friends. They say they want to proclaim, those who don't believe in fivefold ministry, they want to proclaim, oh, we just get it straight from Brother Branham. Then why is it that if you get a few of them together, they don't even agree with one another? It's because they all have their own opinion and interpretation of what it's saying. And whatever, however they want to understand it, is always based upon what will actually justify what they want to do. Man always looks to justify himself. The flesh. But the children of God know there is no justification outside of God's word. We cannot justify ourselves. We cannot make ourselves righteous. I tell you what, those that seek to justify themselves, I feel sorry for them on the day of judgment. Have you ever, I'm going to close here. Have you ever had something in your mind that you were thinking on, an explanation or some way you think something should be, or what you were going to say or how you felt about something, and then you voice it and you're like, man, it sounded better in my head than it did when I spoke it. When I just spoke it, that didn't sound too good. You ever been there? Yeah. I was telling, it was my son last Saturday. Me and Jack were were driving, and I said, you know, I said that sometimes it's good to have somebody to talk to that just listen, you know, that will listen to you just so you can say something out loud. And I was just telling him, you know, that I always wanted to be there for him, you know, even if he just needs somebody to listen. He really didn't need anybody to really say anything, just needs somebody to hear him. And I said, because sometimes you gotta, it just looks funny if somebody walks by and see you talking to yourself. But if somebody else is standing there, they won't think nothing about it, you know. And I said, not always does the other person have to say anything. It's just so you get to hear what you're thinking out loud. And sometimes when it comes out, you're thinking, man, that was not very... Well, I'm sorry. I can't hardly say it other than the way I think it when it comes out of me. I'm like, man, that was dumb. I'm glad I practiced this at home before I tried it out. But there are people, friends, look, people, we do that. That's what I'm pointing at. Well, these people sit around, they have formed in their own mind what an interpretation of what the prophet said to fit what they want, how they want it to be, to justify, for instance, to justify them not going to church, to justify them not feeling that they need to have a home church, to justify that them not coming under the leadership of a pastor. You know, I know there's other pastors that have pastored and worked, and I don't say anything to criticize them. You have to do what you have to do. And I know there some wouldn't agree with me on, you know, things of how that I've done in the natural when it comes to that. But what I have noticed, and that they all will agree on, is that once they don't have that other outside job in the world to go to, their ministry changes. They're able to get deeper into the Word. Why? Because then their time is given to that. They don't have to go out and put bolts in a frame on assembly line. You don't see what I'm saying? And I can tell you personally for myself, friends, I used to the first, goodness, say first 10 years or so that I was here, every year I would struggle with wanting to go out and get a job. And I even tried it. And boy, God always gave me a good whipping. He let me know in no uncertain terms He didn't want me doing it. And so, no matter how good or reasonable it might sound, I've got to where that don't really bother me now like that. You say, why? Because God's really just blessed you so good? No, because God's let me go down to a place where, friends, I didn't know if I was ever going to see daylight again financially. And yet God has always provided. You say, well, He had to provide through people. Exactly. But you know what? It was God that laid it on their heart. Right. It would. Oh my. I got to finish here. Now listen to this next part of this message. I want to get this out before we close. He says, then from that messenger there spreads a light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Now listen to this part he says right here. Remember, Paul warned the people. You mean it wasn't Paul warning preachers only, but it was all people of God? Yeah. You say, but he said, if any other man cometh and preacheth, Friends, I'm going to tell you what, there's a whole lot of preaching that goes on that don't happen in the pulpit. And there's a whole lot of folks preaching that ain't called to preach. They can say they sit around the table and or sit in their living room and they just discuss the Word of God. Somebody is preaching. And Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 11 and 3, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve. He didn't say as a serpent beguiled Adam. Now listen to me now. I'm not talking necessarily male, female, gender here in humans. I'm not talking that. But he says, as he beguiled Eve. What was Eve's type? The church. The members of the church. He said, what are you getting at, friends? If a person has a gift to preach, pastor, teach, missionary, whatever, they were born with it. They had to be born with it. Nobody gave it to them. It wasn't, that doesn't get to be given. You don't get to choose it. You're born with it. It's exactly what the Bible says. Paul warned the people to say only what he said. And then he quotes it from 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it to you only? Paul was saying, did the word of God, if you go read it, you'll find he's saying, did the word of God come from you to me or from me to you? But wait, what was that? I was helped greatly by that scripture not long after I first started pastoring. Because you would come across people that would think that somehow they could tell you what you should be doing as a pastor, even though they themselves did not possess that gift or calling. And I thought, if I possess the gift and calling, and if you think I got it wrong, then how would you think you could correct me if you don't even have the gift or calling? Say, well, then what does God do, Brother Jerry? God speaks and leads. And I'll tell you something, friends. I do not like being outside of God's will. I've been there. It is not fun. And I don't ever want to get there again. But I find that if, as a pastor, if I'm too quick to move without knowing for a certainty what God wants me to do, even if with all my heart I mean good, I can do great harm. So I wait until I know exactly what God wants me to do. And then I wait until God tells me it's time to do it. You say, well, how do you know when it's time to do it? I don't. God does. But I can tell you this. I've learned this. If you go out to do it on your own, even if you have receive what the Lord wants you to do. If you do it out of time with the Word and with the Lord, what will happen is you'll be dealing with the individual that is not ready to receive it. So not only does the minister have to know what God wants, he has to know the time because the individual has to be ready to receive that. And then there's times that the Holy Spirit says, just keep on laying that word in there. Keep on preaching it. They ain't got it yet. Just keep on preaching it. Here's another different scripture. Here's another title. Preach the same thing. It's the truth. I'm not getting arrogant or smart aleck in saying that. I don't mean it that way. There was a lot of people thought Paul Paul himself said, though I be rude in speech. He warned the people, say only what he said. He said, but they add here or take away there, and soon the message is no longer pure. Now, I've heard individuals say that the message can't stay pure coming through the fivefold ministry. They say that the only way for it to stay pure is you've just got to listen to the prophet yourself. There was a man who visited church here some years ago, and he forgot his Bible here at the church, and someone found it and brought it to me, and I was trying to figure out whose Bible it was, and I opened up the front, and there was wrote in the fly leaf of the man's Bible was, the only way the message can stay pure is if we just listen to the prophet. Well, I found the man's name in it, and I mailed him his Bible back. I got, you know, he had called me, realized he had left his Bible, and he called me, and I got his address and mailed his Bible back to me. He has never been back. Friends, people become so fearful. That's why they will say that. And they miss it. The only way it can stay pure, we just got to listen to the prophet. But look, what they do is they themselves are going outside of the channels that God has provided, and they're doing the very thing that they want to accuse the fivefold ministry of doing. They're doing the very thing that they fear that might happen if they listen to the fivefold ministry. They are making it impure by putting their understanding upon it. The only way it stays pure is if the individuals are pure. And the only way we can be pure is if we align with his word. I have heard, I was in a youth meeting one time up in Ohio that I'd been asked to go to and attend. It was down in another part of Ohio than where my folks live. And I went down there to preach at a brother's church, and he wanted me to come in on Saturday beforehand, and because they were having a youth gathering and a little Bible study and questions and answers. And so he had asked me to come in and early to do it. So I came in, and there was questions asked me. There were some of the young people there that they didn't really particularly know me too well, but I knew their parents. And I had known him for years. And so I knew what their parents believed. And there was one young lady, she asked me a question concerning the fivefold ministry. And is God really still using a fivefold ministry today, or was that done away with when God sent the prophet? And we began to look at Ephesians 4, you know, and as we were looking there, she said, I've heard it this way, that he sent some apostles, and he sent some teachers. In other words, some being, he sent some people apostles. He sent other people some teachers. And other people, he sent them pastors. And there were other peoples that, according to them, obviously didn't, they weren't so weak that they needed to have a preacher. And I thought, how ridiculous. But the people say this, friends, and it's like I told you last week, my son told me on the phone, well, I believe in Jesus. Oh my goodness, how deluded. I believe in Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, and this is exactly what I told him, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you're not going to sit down and figure this out yourself. It's got to come by revelation of God. And there is a need, the Bible says, that the gospel be preached. That's why we don't have it where we all gather in a circle and sit around and just have a discussion. I'm not against sitting around talking about the Bible. Don't get me wrong. But could you imagine us, we just take all these pews out of here, this pulpit and everything else, and we'll just set up chairs in a circle, and we'll just, when we gather here, we'll just come here and all of us just discuss the Bible. Well, tell me how that stays true to the Word of God. Tell me how that stays true. Why didn't the prophet think of that? Why didn't he do that? You know what? I'm done with all these big meetings. I'm done with preaching in churches. You know what? Let's just rip all the pews out of the Brown Tabernacle and let's just put chairs in a big old circle or a table or the round table or something where we can all sit around it and we'll just discuss this Bible. Why didn't the prophet do that? But I'm going to tell you this, friends. The Bible says this, try the spirits to see whether they're of God or not. Any spirit that saith that Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh is Antichrist. It didn't say has. It said is. Is come, not has come. And the prophet himself preached continuously saying, don't look back to the light of another day. You've got to be in the light for this day, time, and hour. And you will never find in the message where Brother Branham ever said, we have no need of the fivefold ministry now that I've come. You will not find that. Why? Brother Branham wasn't trying to deceive people. He didn't have to, well, he didn't say it that way because only the bride, you know, you have to catch and read between lines. Oh, come on, give me a break. He didn't say insert your own thoughts between the lines. What did he mean by read between lines? You've got to first be like-minded. He gave the example of his wife writing him a letter. And said she would say this and that. And the other, he said, but I see where she loves me. I can read between the lines. Why? Because they were one. My wife comes home. She tells me that, well, I look at it, she brags on me at where she works. She brags on me how I help her at the house and how I help her do things and that. And said, as all the other women in awe, they're like, my goodness, my husband don't do none of that kind of stuff. But you know what? I read between the lines on that one. She's doing that because she loves me and she appreciates me. Right? But now I'm not inserting things in there, but that's what a lot of people have done with the message and the quotes. They insert their own ideal in there. Oh, praise be to God. I'll tell you this, friends. God, why I was preaching about witnesses on Sunday, I said, God never leaves himself without a witness. Brother Branham said, sometimes it could get down to only one, but he never is without a witness. Now, I know that the people can witness. That's right, all of you. I thank God for the witnesses we have. But within that, it's also saying God doesn't leave the people without his voice. The voice didn't leave here when God took Brother Branham. You say, well, how will I know if it's the voice of God? The same way he said, look at the supernatural manifestation of the voice. I'll tell you something, friends. If you just take a look at the transformation that God has done here in this church. This is not the same church that it was 16 years ago. It's not because of me. Man couldn't do it. There is no way a man could come in here and straighten out all the stuff that other men had done to people and led the people astray. A man couldn't undo that. It would take him, his voice, the chief shepherd. You're his sheep. God don't want somebody in here that's got up here to build himself up or try to proclaim himself. He wants to be proclaimed. His word, his grace, his mercy. Friends, God has changed our hearts and lives. And he has done it in such a way that we can even testify by looking at one another and see the supernatural manifestation of God in the lives of our brothers and sisters here. Only the voice of God could do that. The voice of a man, the voice of a church, it couldn't do that. A voice of a man could convince us to act a certain way. It could convince us maybe to dress a certain way. It could convince us to have a certain ideal or thought or intellectualism, but it could not change the soul. Do you know why men do that? Like, for instance, telling people, well, now every time you come to church, you men, you better be wearing a suit and a tie. You know why they do that? To get the people's eyes distracted. They're getting focused on the wrong things. I'll show you in a way that'll really bless you. Because I'll just get your memory to wake it up here. And I'm closing. There once was a young man that went and visited among some meetings. And he just had on a t-shirt and seersucker trousers. And they got to calling for him from the pulpit and said, "Is anybody out there knowing?" And a colored man sat next to him and said, "Do you know him?" He said, "I'm him." He said, "Well, then get on up there." He said, "No, look the way I'm dressed." He said, "These people don't care how you're dressed." How many times have we listened and heard the prophet tell that story? He said, "These people don't care how you're dressed." Heard it described one time by John the Baptist, being brought into the palace of the king. Come in wearing camel's hair. The brother was describing it. He kind of emphasized and said, come in, maybe there was mud stuck between his toes where he'd been walking out in the dirt and stuff. And said, and he stood there in that great court of that king and said, "It ain't lawful for you to have her for your brother's wife." He said, they don't care how you dressed. And they call out again. And he said, here he is. Brother Branham talked about how he got up there and preached. And how that the Lord just blessed those people. And how God just spoke to his heart there. And how much he loved those people. Huh. I know, I'm glad God sent me down here to the South, Pastor, you know, or at least this area, or to these people, I should say, because y'all don't get focused so much on what a man has to wear or what he doesn't wear or whatever else, whether you're going to listen to him or not, because I wear a tie every once in a while, but I just seem not to. I'm glad you don't care whether I wear a tie or if I wear short sleeves or long sleeves or what. Why? Because that ain't what you come here for. We ain't coming to no fashion show. This ain't no social gathering. We come to hear his voice. And I'll tell you something, friends, listen. To me, I hold this office and this desk to be so sacred that I would never want to come here and it be some other voice than the voice of God speaking. Because I know as sure as I stand here, I have to give account to God for what I preach here and for what I've done for his people. Because you're not my people, you're his people. Now you're my people in the way that he told Brother Branham, your people are here. These are your people. But friends, you're God's children. You're God's people. Hallelujah. Heard one brother say one time, he said, look, he warned another minister. He said, you be careful how that you talk to them when you're preaching. Said, because that's Jesus Christ's wife, and he don't want her being beat on. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, God, to then we'll be here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for coming, Lord, and speaking to us, Lord. Oh, Lord, there's so much, it seems, out there in the world trying to, Lord, distract this younger generation away from this end time truth. Lord, when I was just a young boy, Lord, come up in this message, I know there were, at that time, there were people around that didn't believe the message, but I wasn't around them so much. And I know there was preachers and men that didn't agree one with the other. But Lord, I do remember, Lord, that being taught, we were just all so careful. Be careful, beware of what you say. You don't want to say the wrong thing. Lord, I remember as a young boy just being fearful. I never wanted to say anything, Lord. I didn't even know what all blasphemy meant, Lord, but I never wanted to do it. Now it just seems, Lord, that we've got a generation coming on, Lord, that fear has left them. That fear of God, that respect. Lord, even myself, I don't never want to get to a place, thank Lord, that I don't need to hear no other preaching. Lord, I rejoice, Lord. I love to hear the ministry of God through others. I get to sit and feed, Lord. I love, Lord, listening to the prophet. Lord, just something, dear God, hearing that voice, even on the tapes, Lord. But yet, Lord God, we need to not look back to say, yes, that was Jesus in the flesh of a prophet, because that time has gone by. But Jesus, the same Jesus Christ he introduced, is here today in flesh. And Lord, it's not just in a group's flesh or in the ministry's flesh. Lord, it's in this bride. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your so many blessings on us. Lord, that we have not been so seduced and led away after false teachings and doctrines and of men, Lord. But Lord God, through the great, Lord, adversity, and through the so many other voices and opinions, God, Lord, the message still remains pure in our hearts. Lord, it reminded me of how it said that it wasn't so great that Martin Luther stood against the Catholic Church as it was that he was able to hold his head up above all of the fanaticism that surrounded his ministry. Oh my. God, I thank you, Lord, because it hadn't been because we were real intelligent or smart or because of our anything of ourselves, but it's been your grace, dear God, that has kept us. It's been your grace, Lord, that has trained us to hear your voice. It's been your grace, dear God, that when, Father, these trumpets of men sounded, we said, wait, that doesn't sound like the trumpet of God. That's not his word. Lord, so many seem to be looking for signs, more signs, more signs, that if they would follow any ministry that could show them some kind of outward sign. And that is why you even sent your prophet. The signs were to get the attention so they could hear the voice. God, they don't want the voice. They still want the signs. Oh, Lord. It's like you said, why will we focus so much on the gifts when we can have the giver? Oh, Lord, bless your people, Lord. Give them strength, Lord, as they face tomorrow, Lord. Pray you be with them and bless them and keep them. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing a song, Tiffany. Jesus with you. You're dismissed. Amen.